As you turn your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. In your pew Bible, that's page 821. And if you don't have a pew Bible, good luck. You might have to look in the glossary. Zechariah is one of those small books that's hard to find towards the end. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. The angel who talked with me came again and wakened me as one is wakened from sleep. He said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on top of it. There are seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on top of it. And by it there are two olive trees, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left." I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." He said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring out the top stone amid shouts of grace to it." Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth." Then I said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" And the second time I said to him, "What are these two branches of the olive trees which pour out the oil through the two golden pipes?" He said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." May God bless the reading and receiving of his word.
Now for you who just found Zechariah. No, just kidding. You might wonder where we're headed today with this particular book and with this particular chapter. It's obviously a vision that the prophet Zechariah had. In fact, there's a series of visions. You might have even wondered if perhaps we had skipped over and we were reading from the book of Revelation with the mention of seven lamps, a lampstand with seven bowls and seven eyes later on of the Lord. And obviously, when the Apocalypse was written in the New Testament, there was an influence from here. But that influence is also predominantly because of a recognition of the one on whom all depend, and that is God. Interestingly enough, in the prophetic books in the Hebrew Scriptures, we find that oftentimes when it says the Lord or an angel, those are interchangeable as to whether it's an angel from God like Gabriel or whether it's actually God speaking to the person in some other fashion or not. This is one of those visions where Zechariah tried to lead in the rebuilding of the temple, something that actually was opposed. You might think, why in the world would the people oppose the rebuilding of the temple? As Chris mentioned earlier today, some of the folks got upset because they remembered what Solomon's temple had been like, and they thought, well, if we can't build it bigger and better and newer, then why try at all? The temple ruins had stood for 67 years at this point of time as a testimony to God's dissatisfaction with the people and the people's sense of total independence from God. They oftentimes wanted the blessings of God but didn't want to have to consider themselves dependent on God. Which then brings us to the title for today's reflection, Dependence on dot, dot, dot. And the question is, on whom do you depend? How many of us in here really, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us in here really are very, very comfortable being dependent on somebody else for things? I know that some of the folks sitting in the back are not very comfortable with it, because even though I'm old now, I still remember I didn't enjoy as a teenager thinking that I had to be dependent upon my parents at certain points in time. I was among those that could not wait to get their driver's license so they could get out on the road. And 6 months after I had mine, I hit a parked car. But it wasn't my fault. They did check out the steering wheel later. I had dropped a friend of mine off from football practice. I turned the corner, and it wouldn't straighten out. And there was a parked car right there. And it was a classic parked car the guy was restoring. That was even worse. But, you know, how many of us really want to be dependent? Some people want to be dependent on some things, on drugs, on particular persons, etc. And many times we have to depend on folks. And that's not all bad, because it's not so much a dependence as an interdependence, if we really understand it. If they're family, if they're friends, there is that connection. And interdependence is a combination of being independent enough to have chosen to work with this person and allow these people to work with us. But the news from around the world, especially in the past year, has shown that many people in our world do not want to be dependent upon anyone. Many have become obsessed with power and authority. Success is touted on the news and in other places oftentimes as being your own boss, not having to depend on anyone else, always having the last word. And I've learned in a little over 37 years that I do get the last word. Okay, dear. So guys, that's what, you know, if just, okay, dear. No. Sometimes I don't get the last word. I say, okay, dear, and she'll say, thank you. And so, then I have to say, you're welcome. And then she'll say, well, you don't have to say you're welcome. But being your own boss, having the last word, being able to do whatever you want, especially if you are testing your freedoms. Especially if you're an adolescent or you're in college and you're testing your freedoms. But the world and history in general, not just the history in the biblical text, but history in general, attest to the fact that many times our push for being independent falls short. Our push for being independent fails when it comes to satisfying our needs. Not just our wants, but our needs. The text today calls us to do something a little different, I think, than the world might suggest. Zechariah speaks to us a word about true greatness and its achievement through dependence. Dependence on God. When there are times that we don't understand what's going on or why things are happening, when there are times that we wonder what can happen next, those are the times, according to Zechariah, according to the text as a whole, that we need to stop, take a deep breath, and remember that in spite of what we may or may not be able to accomplish with God and dependence upon Him, things can occur. Although it's not always in our timing. Some in this world, in Zechariah's world and in ours today, might see this as a sense of spiritual regression. But in Zechariah's point of view, what seems to be weakness is considerably stronger because it comes from God. And it seems to me that's not the only place, and Zechariah is not the only person to say something about being dependent upon God. When he says or the angel says. This is not, or this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Seems to me somebody somewhere in the Bible said that the greatest of my followers must be servant of all. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that the weakness of God is stronger than any human strength. Catherine Aragon writes concerning this, and I quote, "Our tendency to bring the world's wisdom into the church, to relate to God according to the world's values, causes us to miss the mark. God isn't impressed with our work values or the number of hours we spend at church. God didn't call us to just be busy. He called us to be still and to lean on Him for strength." You'd win if you placed it. "Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long. Well, I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call on me, brother, when you need a friend. We all need somebody to lean on." And I'm going to stop right there. Because we do. That is a key point of the whole song. It's not just about you being able to lean on me, but it's also about me coming to the point where I realize that there are times I need to lean on you. And it's not that God leans upon us, although God does use us in a variety of ways, but rather that we need to come to the point where we recognize there are many times when we truly will only find that strength in leaning upon God and God through other people. It's a part of our ability to glorify God, in fact, to slow down and to truly get to know God and to truly be dependent upon God and other people of God who are around us. When we do that, then we will find strength and wisdom beyond ourselves, beyond what we can do. Last Sunday, we spoke about covenant. And I sure am glad I got to preach that sermon last Sunday, because this wouldn't have connected if I hadn't, since I wrote them a while back. But we spoke about covenant. Covenant as an agreement of trust. An agreement of trust. Trust, though, doesn't involve independence, does it? It involves dependence. Dependence on the other person to uphold their end of the bargain. I'd actually thought about doing that little game, but I'd probably make nurses in here have a heart attack. Instead of having somebody come up here and stand behind me, and then I was going to cross my arms and fall back, I was just going to have them stand there, and I was going to fall back from here. Let's see, who do I trust enough? Right? But it does involve trust. On the other part, to do what they say will also be fulfilling trust and fulfilling the covenant. But in order to achieve our goals, within the world, but especially within religious life, within all of our life, we must have more than merely a punch card religion or a concert going mentality, to quote Aragon. It is true religion and trust that is performed in the small chores, the small things. And Zechariah says that here. That it is in the small things that God's presence and our dependence upon Him become the most noticeable. and the most meaningful. Not just the burning bushes, but the small everyday things in life that make that difference. We are to depend on God for guidance and safety in the good days and bad days and going half mad days. One person said that sometimes the idea of God is actually more comforting than God's presence. Let me repeat that. The idea of God is oftentimes more comforting than God's presence. We need to know and become comfortable not just with the idea that God is out there somewhere when we need Him, but that He is present around us, waiting on our asking and waiting on our commitment. He's not a genie like in Aladdin, but God is present even when we don't ask to give us that guidance. Yes, God's presence is not always comfortable, is it? Because God's perfection and God's holiness sometimes demand things of us, and we really would rather not. But until we truly experience that presence, until we take the time out of our chaotic, busy days, until we take the time to really reflect and get to know Him, and to recognize it is only through God's strength and might that we're going to be able to get through the day, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's out in the neighborhood and you happen to be walking along and run into that neighbor that you just would rather not see. Until we get to the point that we understand that strength and that presence of God's Spirit, our lives will be stunted. The more we stay away, the more we stay away from church gatherings, the more we stay away from opportunities to share in life together with each other, the more barriers get built between not only other people and us, but between us and God. You see, when Jesus talks about doing something for the least or not doing something for the least, He doesn't just say that you're doing it for them, you're also doing it to and for God. God is perfect, yes, but God is the other. And God wants us to strive for that same kind of perfection, seeking the good. And we're told constantly through the Bible, even here in Zechariah, that God is seeking to do good. Paul writes, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. That doesn't mean all things are going to seem good. But regardless of those things in which we might find ourselves, God is there seeking our good. God doesn't seek anything but our good. James even says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of light. In the second part of this oracle or this vision, we find that in spite of everything, Zechariah tells the king to begin building, and that he will finish it because God is determined that he will do so. Now, we do know that the temple eventually was rebuilt, but it was only rebuilt because the people decided finally to depend upon the Word of God to be true. I'm not talking about the Word of God to be true. I'm talking about God's Word to them. Because God speaks to us daily if we allow Him to do so. Dependence upon God means that we come to know Him and then to do His desires. Not just His desires for us, but His desires for others around us and for this world. Which means that we allow God to direct our lives in ways that we cannot, to accomplish purposes that alone we cannot do. God does have goals for us. God has goals for our world. but God also gives us the opportunity to participate in those goals or not. God's not going to force it upon us. The biblical text is full of places where God says, if you will, then. If you will, then. When you do, then. God gives us those opportunities to cooperate with God. And it is only when we do that that the purposes of God are really accomplished. Think about that for a moment. We've said before, but think about it. God trusts you to help God in the world. Scary, right? Could be. But also, it can be so affirming that God trusts you. We are dependent upon God, but then God makes us dependent upon each other, and the accomplishment of God's purpose, at least in part, depends upon our dependence on God and interdependence with each other. We are all unique, and we all have our own special qualities. We often hide them for whatever reason and try not to stand out. But as one of my seminary professors said often, I quote, "If you're in the wrong place, the right place is unfilled, and what needs to be done goes undone." End of quote. We are called by God to a dependence on His desires and His guidance so that we might find joy and comfort in participating in something bigger than ourselves. Something bigger than ourselves. Yeah, it's hard, Bobby. It's very hard. But it is only when we do that and when we find that connection that we truly will find ourselves connected with others. And in so doing, we're even more connected with God. Because the king knows God and is known by him, God's purpose is going to be accomplished. Dependence on God additionally means we serve God for the good and the glory of the kingdom, not our own glory. We must cooperate with God's Spirit. When Jesus read from the prophets, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," there was that recognition that he was connected with God's Spirit. But he didn't stop reading there, did he? When he read from the prophets that Sabbath day, he continued, "Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." As a human, Jesus depended on God the Father to help accomplish these tasks through him. While there were applications to the mortal realm and the physical healings, the deeper understanding of this freedom from this verse, the freedom for the captives, sight to the blind, includes emotional and spiritual healing as well. Release from emotional and spiritual captivity. Sight, where before we were emotionally and spiritually blind. Freedom from spiritual oppression. Sometimes we even perpetrate on ourselves. That's the good news. That's the good news. I know somebody's sitting there thinking, "Yeah, but what about those two olive trees? What about those two olive trees he keeps asking about?" Well, for Zechariah, they represent Joshua and Zerubbabel, two grand leaders that God had set aside to help the people gain that greatness that God intended. Two who were very dependent upon God. Go back to the book of Joshua. and read what God says to Joshua about leading the people through him, but only if he is dependent upon God. The same thing here with the king. We as Christians, as we read that later, can also make connections that, yes, there were great persons throughout biblical history. Joshua, Zerubbabel. But we can also make that connection that the two who stand beside the Lord include the other two parts of the Trinity: Father, Son, and Spirit, all together, standing together. And because of that, we can think back, and I would ask you, think back in your life to people who stood strong and firm in their work for God. Perhaps it's a Sunday school teacher that you had, or an RA and GA leader. Perhaps it was a choir director. Perhaps it was a parent. Perhaps it was a friend of yours. And in their dependence upon God and their standing there, you found God's presence. The good news of Jesus' message and Zechariah's message is that when we depend more on God and a strong relationship with Him, we might just become spiritually rich. We might just become free from captivity. We just might gain more insight into God's desire, and we too might someday be those two olive trees for someone else in a world that is in need of good news and soothing. And we can live the year of the Lord's favor this year, next year, and the year after. When we do something bigger than simply erecting temples and monuments, as God speaks to us and through us of restoration, when we are truly in touch with God's call and the ability that God wants to give to us to be healed, we will find restoration. Just as the temple was rebuilt, we can be rebuilt in even more glorious ways. Maybe not always on the outside, but certainly starting on the inside. When we find that that dependence upon God leads to an interdependence with each other, then even with all the hurts that might surround us or come upon our world, the times that we might find ourselves in dire straits, we can be freed from spiritual and emotional prisons because of our dependence on a God who looks for our good and who said through Jesus that He has come to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release in our captivity, to free us from the things that oppress us, even ourselves, to give us a good year of God's favor and God's grace. So I guess the question today, for me anyway, is, so you're dependent on ... Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You sometimes thinking that we can be free in our own selves and of our own selves. Thank You for times when we are reminded that true life comes through connections with You and then living that with others around. Help our dependence upon You to become interdependence in a world that needs your healing touch. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of invitation, is hymn number 692. As you stand and as we sing together, our altar is open for any decision that you might feel led to make, but I hope that at least the altar of your heart will be open as we are reminded, not just by Zechariah, but by the hymn writer, God will take care of you. Hymn number 692.